November 15th.
So let's see. So we're at we're moving further into the Kibbutz Avayim territory. So it's on Lamed Mabez. It's the second white line. Kol Mitzav Al Bein. So more, the Mishnah says Kol Mitzav Al Bein. Yeah, both men and women are obligated. Okay. So it says Michael Mitzav Aval Al Bein. What is that talking about? If it means all mitzvahs that the father is chayav to do for his son, right? So noshim chayavos are women mechuyavet. Tanya, how chayav l'bivin olam olaf doso, right? Avin imalo. You see, the mother's not obligated, so it can't mean that, right? I saw, by the way, someone asked, some of the Rishonim, I think when I looked around, the different Rishonim, I don't remember who said it, but they asked, they say, but isn't it obvious, you know, since we already worked out that the mitzvah of Ben Al-Av meant those ghost things, you know, like Mila Pti, all that stuff, so isn't it clear that mitzvah of Av Al-Ban has to mean this? Like, why is it going through it again, as if it's like, you know, but they say that, no, really, these questions, these analyses were conducted independently, you know? And then it's just recording the way they analyze it in his own right, you know what I mean? But in a chanami, once you have one of them, then of course the other ones, you know. It's interesting. Okay. Fine. But it says, it's like intrinsically, this is intrinsic arguments. Yeah. So it says, no, so rather, so Amar Yehuda Hachi Kamer. Kol mitzvah sa'av ha-mutelas al-abein, this is the father that are placed in the son, lasas mutelas al-abein, lasas al-abein, the son has due for the father. Chanoshim and chanoshim chayav. Okay, so both men and women are obligated. Okay, Rashi. No, never tell someone can keep him more. So cover more. That's what's referring to. Okay, things that a son must do for the father. Men and women are obligated. So Tanina lo tan rabbanon. So there's a Mishnah Brisa supports this. Ish, ainli ala ish. Right, it says ishimo vavtirah. So if you just said ish, it sounds like it means man. Males. Isha minayin. How do you know women are obligated in mora? And presumably kavod? Kishuomer tirau. You, plural, should fear. Harikan shanayim. So it's talking to two people, man and woman. So it must be it's both men and women. Imke matomer ish. So why did it say ish? So there's no ish, she be the asas. Isha ain't she be the asas. Mesha shosachem ala. No, because a man has the ability in his hands to do it. But a married woman specifically, is not in her hands to do it. Because she's in someone else's resource, her husband's. So therefore, practically, she's not going to be able to do it. Okay, practically, she's not going to be able to do it. So that's what it's saying is, that's what it's saying, ish. So ish, practically speaking, it's going to be a man more a man. But logically, they're both. You can't say that it's only men are obligated. You see, women are also obligated. Okay, women are also obligated. It's funny. I mean, there was ish teaching. It's like, practically speaking, that she's going to be, you know, restricted. Okay, what does Rashi say? It says, Sipeg yachal, she'en mocha biyadel. It means they're able to do it. But there's no one who's going to prevent her. So it's Rashi's learning is that the Baal could prevent her from doing kavod. Okay, her husband will prevent her. Rishos acherim baila. Okay, so that's the thing. I would have thought that only men are obligated in Kibbutz Avayim or Mora. Kamash Malah, no. Women also. But the women practically are not going to be able to do it. Okay? Then the Gemara says, Amar v'idi v'ravin, Amar v'ravin, Isgar shosh neim shab. But once she gets divorced, so then she's going to be equal. She's going to be equal. Right? She's going to be equal. So, okay, so what's the Havamina there? Skashish Nam Shavim. I mean, it just told, yeah, of course, he just told me that men are and women are both obligated, but it just means that men are going to be able to, women won't be able to. So what do you have to teach me if they get divorced? They're going to be equal. Rashi. Niskashish Nam Shavim, Harehi Ka'acheha. The Mitzvah's Kibbutz shall be like her brothers. Mitzvah's Kibbutz. Right? So what do you have to teach that to me? Okay? So that the Ron takes up, right? Right? I mean, there's a simple way to learn it, but the Ron spells it out. It's apparently, he says like this. He says, It's teaching you that you don't say, because you might have thought that once she gets married, her chiyuva disappears. And that's what it's telling you is no. As you would have thought, yeah, women are obligated, but the second the woman gets married, then she's gone. That's it. First, forever, she loses it. But it's teaching you, no, don't think so. It doesn't work that way. But it's going to reemerge. Okay, it'll reemerge. Okay? It'll reemerge. Okay, it's interesting, the Rambam. Did anyone see the Rambam? Did anyone look at the Rambam? Interesting, the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. Try to pick out what's interesting about the Rambam. Besides your widow. Echad esh v'echad isha chayav mar recovered. Ella. She'ha ish yesh biyad alasos. V'ha isha ain biyad alasos. She'ha rei v'sha socher malayah. Right? So far he's saying that both men and women are obligated to cover Mara, but a man has the ability to do it, a woman doesn't, because she's chayim alayah. The fikach, in this garsha, in this almala, mina, if she gets divorced or widowed, harish neim shav, they're both equal. But lefikach, right? Lefikach, what do you mean lefikach? At least Iran's not learning lefikach. They're saying men and women are obligated. The only difference is that women can't do it. Men can do it. Men could do it. A woman can't do it. And therefore, women, if she gets divorced, she's gonna be chayiv again, right? So I mean, you could see the therefore. I'm not saying it's impossible to see therefore, but the Iran wasn't learning therefore. The Iran was learning the Gemara. So he's coming in and giving you a new chiddush. The first halacha is that men and women are both obligated. Right now, you might think, but when a woman gets married, she loses her obligation. No, Kamash Malon, the Gemara is coming and saying, no, don't think the Chiyuv goes away, it's still there. When she's divorced, it's still there. But the Rambam is saying, no, men and women are both obligated, therefore, when she gets divorced, it's still there. And so the Rambam's not learning it like a Habamina. The Rambam's learning it just follows. It follows naturally. Okay, so we'll get to it. I'm just throwing out some facts here, but let's take it slow. Okay? So what do we have to, what are the issues here? I mean, a lot of things going on. But let's say we started back at the beginning. So what's the first thing we have to take up here? The first question is, why would I think there's a difference between men and women? Apparently, if I just said ish, I would have said, only men are obligated to keep it up away, which seems very difficult. I mean, the whole idea, whatever philosophy or whatever it is, of keep it up away, I mean, the parents, the shlosha shutvim ba'adam, whatever it is, whatever idea you want to say. Parents are parents. Now, parents are parents for men and parents are parents for women. There's no difference between men and women. So what would be the logic? What kind of sense would that make to say that women are not obligated to keep it avayim? It's funny how, by the way, it's funny. This is Marsha notices this. But the pasuk, I think Michael and Simon noticed it last time. But the pasuk is talking about by Mora, Ish Imovav Iftiro. But it would seem like, for instance, why can't a woman do kavod of her parents? I mean, that's supposed to get into. But why exactly? It's not like her husband's going to stop her, or my seyadeha, she's not there, or whatever child you want to say. But marriage gets in the way. But does that get in the way of kavod or mora? Like, kavod means like serving him, getting him his drinks, feet, dressing him. Mora means don't sit in his chair, don't contradict him, don't, you know.
Kavod.
So it seems covered. It doesn't seem to do with Mora. I mean, what, because husband's going to make him, going to force her to sit in the guy's chair or whatever? I mean, it doesn't seem like Mora is going to, that doesn't seem to have anything to do with him. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the husband. It seems like, on the contrary, this is all in the area of covered. You know what I mean? I mean, it would seem, which is weird. I mean, it's strange. I mean, it seems like somehow, even though it's learning it out by Mora, but it seems, practically speaking, the issues come up regarding covered. I mean, we don't really know what kavod is and exactly what mora is and the interrelationship between the two. So it's hard to really, you know, to get into that right now. But well, we know examples, I know. But, I mean, it seems like they're more closely related than we would think. It's just something to, you know, to keep in mind. Something, you know, because the question is, what's the logic of that? I mean, why would I say women are not obligated in kavod, yira, whatever? I mean, what's that going to do with men or women? It's just nothing to do with that, right? So what's the sense to say that? So I think this makes sense even now. That is, it's not just that we said it. But I think the idea is like this, is that what's the chiv of kavod? So you could say, like kavod means, you have to do what? You have to, for instance, the Rambam says, what's kavod? You have to give them food, maichel, mashke, dress them, you know, bring them back, you know, bring them out, bring them in. Right? It's a whole list of things. So kavod, we said, the idea of kavod isn't just, or at least according to the Amina, isn't just do these five actions. But kavod is to be their caregiver. Okay? You have to be a caregiver. You have to take care of them. It's not just that, it can't summarize it as doing a lot of actions. It's a certain relationship that the gavra puts themselves in a position where they are the caregiver for the parent. Okay? The parent has needs, and you have to put yourself in a position of the person who takes care of their needs. Okay? Now, if that's the case, so a married woman simply cannot do that because she has a more primary responsibility to her husband. And you can't say, well, do it when you could, because that's not kavod. See, do it when you could is looking at kavod as actions. Mm-hmm. So you have actions, and each time you can't do it, that action, then it's honest and you can't do it, but then the next action you'll do. But that's if you look at kavod as a lot of actions. They have to do a lot of actions. But if you say that kavod means that you have to put yourself in a position of being a caregiver for your parent, so then if you're by nature you have a different calling to your husband, then you simply can't be that person. So the Torah couldn't be mechayev you in that. So it can't be mechayev you sometimes. That's not kavod. Kavod means you're there for every, you know. It's like a person got his parents a drink only when he was in the mood. It's not. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad idea, you know, you shouldn't do it those times, but that's not the idea of kavod. The idea of kavod is that you're there for, so to be at their beck and call, whatever they want, so then you do it. That's the nature of the kavod. So therefore, you can't, according to this logic, you cannot be mechayev a married woman. Okay? Now, so therefore what? So now, I think it's not a far step to say is that if the Torah said ish, so you would think is that since it's the case that a married woman can't be obligated in kavod, and most women are married, right, that is the, so to speak, the proper, normal state for a woman, okay? So therefore, basically, the Torah was not mechayev woman. The Torah restricted the chiyav tesh. That's the way I'd interpret it. I mean, who's to say? I mean, you might say you should include other women and only exclude that. I mean, the Torah says ish. That's what I would think, is that this mitzvah was restricted to man. Either for a woman doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's a good action of perfection. Probably she should do it if she appreciates the idea of kavod shamayim and shosh shosh from ba'adam and whatever philosophy is very nice. But halachically, since most women aren't barach basachi of this thing, so therefore the chiyav was only set up on man. That's what I would say. It's fine. Makes sense. Right, I mean, that's okay. Now the question is, what's the maskana? What is the maskana? So, when I say to be a gavra, I don't mean it's like the mitzvah is to define yourself as a gavra of a care. I mean the mitzvah is to take on a responsibility of the caregiver. It's not just just to do a lot of independent actions. The mitzvah is to take on a role and a responsibility of taking care of them. So when I'm using the term gavra, I'm going to say it's because that summarizes all those responsibilities. But the mitzvah isn't just to give yourself a chal shem or something. I mean, the mitzvah is to act, but it's not an action like a maisa. It's a role. The mitzvah is to take on that role, to play the role of the caregiver. That's the mitzvah. You have to be your parent's caregiver. Now, a woman can't do that. It's not shayach. A married woman cannot do that. It's not possible. Okay, so since it's not possible, and we'll get into why it's not possible, so we're going to get to it a little bit. That's Tosis. Tosis gets into why she could or why she can't, what's the problem, and we'll get to that. But let's just, for now, let's take it again. She can't do that. Okay, so therefore the Torah wasn't mechayver. But now it says ish and ish come to ra'u, plural. You should do it, right? Plural and ish. It's true. Man is sibik biyadol asos, but. But essentially, Tiro, the Torah was mechayev both of them. So what's that idea? What's the concept? So what's the maskana hold? Right, it's different from that. So that's one way to go. It's like Jake's saying, is that really the mitzvah? You're right. The mitzvah is to be a caregiver. And the woman who's married simply cannot do that. And but the thing is, but the Torah didn't therefore did not limit the chiyuv to a man. Basically, the Torah said is that children are obligated to be caregivers for their parents. Now, if a woman is married and she's not able to do it, so it's on a sort of contrary. She can't do it. She has a primary responsibility to her husband, and she can't do it. The Torah recognizes the idea of ishos, and ishos exists, so she can't do it. But the Torah did not build into the chiyuv, it'll limit the chiyuv to a man. And the Torah basically set up the chiyuv on children, because intrinsically it really should be on all children. And if a woman, for the even 90% of women who practically can't do it, they can't do it. But the Torah didn't, and that's what the Torah says. Ish, practically speaking, it's really going to be Ish who's going to be doing it. Okay, that's why it says Ish. Ish, we are there. Practically speaking, for the most part, it's going to be the man. But conceptually, men and women are equally chayiv. It's just that practically speaking, the Torah is telling you, practically speaking, is women are not going to be doing it because ain't see other losses. But if you follow that line of reasoning, when she gets divorced, what do you say? She gets divorced. The chiyuv should come back, right? She should come back. That would be good for the Rambam's Lefikach, actually, right? That's good for the Rambam's Lefikach. It means that since really the chiyuv is, that's what Rambam says. He says, it says the mitzvah is right? They're both chayiv equally. But practically speaking, the man is going to be able to, the woman's not going to be able to. Okay, but really they're both chayiv 100%. So lefikach, therefore, imnisgarshon samalar shneim shalvim. Because since the chayiv is really exactly equivalent, the only thing is that practically, so therefore, if there's no practical hindrance, so then she's going to be 100% chayav. Right? I mean, that's good, right? That makes sense. It just follows naturally. Why should it matter? Why should it be a havmina? Of course, if she gets to it. There's no reason. The Torah never, according to this way of learning, the way Jake's going, is that there's essentially, the maskana is that the Torah never builds in a p'tor. Even though the idea really is, even though women really are not going to be able to do it when they're married, but the Torah never built in a p'tor. So that would be the Hamaskana point to that way of learning. Is that definitely the mitzvah is that you have to be a caregiver. A married woman aren't going to be a caregiver. But the question is, did the Torah therefore restrict the obligation of kavod to man? Or do you say no? There's no such restriction. The chi was set up following the conceptual lines, and intrinsically it's on a child, both men and women. And the practicality, the fact that women generally aren't going to be able to do it, is a practical fact, which is there, but the Torah didn't alter its formulation because of that. Meshu, according to the Rambam, according to this way of learning, when Rav Idi Barav and Amar Rav says in Skar Shneim Shavim, it's a lefikach. It just follows naturally. I mean, that's what Rambam says, lefikach. So apparently he's not coming into the whole new chiddush. He's basically just following to the natural conclusion. That's what's going to happen. Okay, since they're both obligated, it's only a practical thing that they can't do it. So if they practically could do it, then they could do it. Simple. And another way to go, like Gary's saying, is that, and no, really the maskana that is really questioning the premise of the Avina. The premise of the Avina was the mitzvah is to be a caregiver. And that's like an overarching role which has to be taken on, and a married woman simply cannot do that. But maybe the maskana is saying it's not true. Really, kavod means to do. You have to get them dressed when they need to get dressed. You're mechayev to do this to feed them when they're hungry. You're mechayev to do this. It's basically sets up a series of obligations upon the child. So if that's the way you understand it, that's what kavod is mechayev you in doing a lot of different things. So then you'll say, if a woman is married, so practically speaking, depends. If she happens to be at her father's house and her father says, get me a drink, so she can do it. Why not? So when she's at her husband, then it'll be on its own poncho. She can't do that action. But just because she can't do 50 actions doesn't mean she shouldn't do the other 50 actions. So in other words, if the chiyuv is really just a bunch of actions, so then there's no reason to exclude a woman categorically and to limit it to men. Then basically it makes sense to mechayev everybody. and say, is she big beer the last? And you say, yeah, it's true. Practically speaking, a lot of the time, women are not going to be able to do it. But there's no, it wouldn't make sense, under that way of looking at it, it wouldn't make sense to categorically remove the woman from the thing. See, if you say that it means it's a whole role, then a married woman simply cannot do that role. So then it says you remove women. But if the thing is just a lot of actions, so she could do a lot of actions. The fact that she can't do other actions doesn't make sense to remove her. Right? That's another way to go, no? That's another way to go. And according to that logic, let's say she got divorced, then what do you say? Let's say she gets divorced.
Should be chayev.
Should be chayev, again, of course, right? Even more so, I mean. Because she was really chayev the whole time. Even when she was married, she was chayev to do it, right? Even when she's married, she's chayev to do it. So of course when she gets divorced, she'd do it, right?
Right.
Okay. Just say it like this. I know it's naturally another way to go. And the Havmino saying is that the Torah limits it to man because man is... Because the premise is... That's the premise, not me. Havmino, the premise of the mitzvah is to be a caregiver. And therefore, the Torah limits it only to men. Because women can't do that. And the Maskana is either saying, I agree with your premise that the mitzvah is to be a caregiver, but there's no superadded limitation, and it's just left up to the normal principle of Onesu Anavash, right? Or the Maskana is, no, that's a wrong premise. The premise is mistaken. The premise that it's a caregiver is not true. Really, the halacha is, it's a maisim of kavod. It's a bunch of maisim. And therefore, it's a woman. There's no reason to exclude a woman. So when she has conflict, so... The power of her Baal takes priority, takes precedence. Okay? Fine. And then you'd say also Niskar Shashnan Shah. Right? Okay. Now, another way to explain, another way which you could have explained it, which I think what Michael was trying to do, is that. Because now then the question is, what's the... Either way, we don't have a Havmina, right? Either way, we don't really have a Havmina for the Ran. Like, why would I think that when she gets married... What kind of sense is that when she gets married, her Achiv goes away? I mean, what's... How does that work? What's that mechanism? The mechanism is that she just gets married and that pops the Achiv away? Like, how does that work, you know? Right, that's what I'm talking about. I would think that knocks it away. Did anyone... Yeah, so maybe the thing is like this, is that you may have learned, you could have learned it this way, is that you have a problem. The problem is Torah really, Kibbutz Avayim really, intrinsically, is a thing to children. Right? Children, it doesn't man, woman, who cares? Children, right? Intrinsically, it's really children. But the only problem is that a woman gets married, and a married woman, the mitzvah is really a caregiver, that same thing, and a married woman simply can't do the mitzvah called Kibbutz Avayim. So now, you could have said that Torah limited to man. Okay, you could say that. Okay, but the problem with that is a little difficult because it's not really intrinsically, it shouldn't be limited only to man. But, I mean, it's like an artificial thing in a sense. It's because practical problems, you're artificially limiting it to man. You know what I mean? And by doing so, you knock out all single women. You knock out all single women, right? So that was a hot minute. That's what it did. But another way to do it is to say, like we said, is that it just left it on a Shulchan Pache. Really, everyone's chayav 100%, but man, woman, equal 100%. The only thing is, honest, that a woman is an honest. She can't do it when she's married. And that's the way it works out. So, right? But in that scheme, the problem is, it's a little funny. I mean, you're saying women are obligated, but 90% of the time, they're going to be honest. I mean, it's a funny thing. The Torah set up a chiyuv, which is almost never going to be realized. You know, I mean, it's a funny setup. I mean, you could see that the Torah, I mean, that was the logic for the Havmina, why you'd think it would exclude women altogether. Because you tell me it's a chayiv woman and they're not going to be, you know. So another way to say it is, another way, possibility is, that the Torah included women, but it, as it says, the Torah realized that a woman get married. But the Torah did is it was mechayev woman in kavod when they're bebeis avia. Well, this is a state of like you see, there's an idea, the Torah has a thing, like by Nedarim, the nireha beis avia. There's an idea of bebeis avia. There's a state of a child in their parents' house. Well, that's a state of a person in their life. Every child starts up in their parents' house, and then they move on, and they get married, and then they move on to their life, right? and the chiyuv was restricted. And it was by men, they're intrinsically chayiv in kavod. But by women, the Torah limited the chiyuv to beis avia. The chiyuv of woman was the beis avia. Because it is the nature of woman to leave the beis avia and to take on a role which makes it impossible for her to do kavod. So what the Torah did is it set up a chiyuv the beis avia. Okay, and therefore, when she gets married, she doesn't have to do it. But that's how the Torah didn't leave it just like honest. So I don't want to leave it honest, but it also didn't want to exclude women altogether. So what it did is that it set up man, and they're both obligated, but they're different. You know, I mean, Ish and Isha, and that was just like a split system. Ish is different because Ish is intrinsically chayiv, but Isha is also chayiv, but in a different way. The chiyuv is limited to beis avia, to when she's beis avia. Okay, and therefore, when she gets married, she's not going to be obligated anymore, right? Now, if you take that logic, then what's going to happen when she gets divorced? Take that logic. What's going to happen if she gets divorced? So I would say no. I would say that if that's the svara, she's not beis avia. Beis avia is a certain state of development of a person. When they're a kid, they're young, before they get married. Once they get married, then in general, I mean, it's practically speaking, that's the way it is, I think. I mean, but it's not because of the practical, you know. But the idea is you're a kid, you live in your parents' house until you get married. You get married, then you move out, and you get to move in with your husband. And you get divorced, you don't go back to, I mean, you could go back to your parents' house, but the idea of the beis avia is a certain stage of life. I mean, it's not because you're actually, it doesn't mean I don't mean when she's living in their parents' house. It's a certain state of existence of a person in their development when they're beis avia, like benura beis avia. It's a kind of a stage of life that a person is in, of the beis avia, beis av. They're living in their parents under their parents' house, you know. And when they get married, then that state is removed permanently. And that's why I would think the havmin would be. I think that's the havmin. That's what I'm saying. Is I would think that when you get married, pakachiyuv min. How could the chiyuv just disappear? As opposed to positing, like Michael, as opposed to saying it's like a mechanism which removes it. I'm saying the chiyuv, the havmin, the chiyuv was limited to a situation. There's a definition of a situation, beis avia, and as such, naturally, when she gets married, that's pakach the chiyuv from it. Then there's no chiyuv anymore. That would have been a good way to say it, and that makes good sense. But that's what Rav Yehuda ben Rav is coming to exclude. No, it didn't do that. That's not the way the Torah did it. Rather, what Jake is saying, that basically the Torah said women are chayv 100%, and it left it up to Anas, basically Anas Kapatri. When she's married, she simply can't do it. Or you could say, like Gary is saying, that really the maskana is no, kavod is not really a gavra of a caretaker, but kavod is really just actions. You have a bunch of actions, so therefore there's no reason to exclude a woman. No, in other words, either it's saying even though there's a good reason to exclude a woman, Torah didn't do it; it left it on us. Or he says no, it's the maskana is teaching you that don't think that's the idea. The Torah formulated kavod in a way which is. Which doesn't demand that you exclude a woman. It's a little funny. I mean, it is a little funny to say that the Havmin Maskani here is about what's the definition of Kavod. I mean, like, it's a little funny. Ish, Isha, you know, that's where hinges, where in. I mean, I would have thought Kavod is this, and now Kavod is that, in terms of Ishni. I mean, it's impossible. It's a little funny. What would be an afkamini between the two approaches? Will be an afkamina between the two approaches. What's that? It seems to be an afkamina between the two maskanas. Whether it is, let's say, a married woman, it happens to be around in her father's house. And she could do kavod. She could do it. So if you say that the mitzvah of kavod is to be the caregiver, right, like the Havmin, who say that the Gemara never changed that, this is to be a caregiver, and therefore when a woman is married, she simply isn't shaykh to be that person, she's on us. So there wouldn't be a value for her to just go and give him a drink. Well, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not. There's no idea of just doing an action of giving him a drink. The mitzvah is to be a caregiver, and a woman is honest. She can't be a caregiver, all right? So she wouldn't be no reason why she'd have to do that. There's absolutely no reason to do it. But if you say no, that really the maskana is that really the kavod is a bunch of actions, And then that's why the Torah never excludes a woman, because kavod is a lot of actions. So then the woman, but a married woman is just an honest with regard to certain actions. Oh, but insofar as she has an action which she's not honest with regard to, and she could do it, so she'd be obligated to do it. She would be obligated to do it. You know? So it's a big nafkamina. Practically, it's a big nafkamina. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says, when a woman's married, she's pater, she's ptura, she's straight, she's ptura. Doesn't say, you know. But the Shach, I think, says that if her husband's mochel, then she should do this. She should do whatever she could do or whatever, you know. Which seems to be, the Shach seems to be learning. Shulchan Aruch sounds pater, it sounds like you could argue it means like across the board. You know what I mean? Across the board, like Jake's way of saying. You know, but the Shach seems to be saying it's like, no, it's really, she should do whatever she could do. You know, and if she's mochel, then she really should be able to do, you know. Which sounds like it's more like Gary's way, that it's a bunch of actions. I mean, you can look at it. I mean, it's interesting to look at. It's on the Reish Mem is basically all the stuff is Reish Mem, and you're there. But it's interesting. I mean, we could look into it more maybe. But so we could do now. Okay, we good? Any question? So what we want to do tomorrow maybe is tomorrow's Thursday, right? So we're still on. Is this Tosas Sheish Rishut Chaim Erleh? The question is, this Tosas is almost it's like impossible to understand what he's saying. Like the beginning, he's saying Ma'isi Adah. The question is, what does Ma'isi Adah have anything to do with that? Ma'isi Adah Labayla means that a woman's earnings basically go to her husband. That any money she earns goes to her husband. Okay? And the question, that's the Raisa or the Rabbana. The question, what does that mean to do with this discussion is a good question. So the Tosas, and also Rashi. I mean, Rashi is brief, but the question is, why a married woman? What does it mean? What prevents a married woman from doing kavod for her husband? Tosas and Rashi. I mean, I think it's different. For her father. How is it that her husband, in what way does her husband prevent her from covered for her father? I think so, yes.